A familiar word. How wonderful to know that the love of God is towards us in Christ Jesus. How comforting to know that we are accepted by God because of his beloved Son. How precious to know that we have peace with God and the peace of God. But it has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with Christ Jesus. I sometimes think we've missed the enormity and privilege of our saved status. I sometimes think we don't appreciate the honour our heavenly position grants us, when from eternity past God looked down and saw our foul, fallen state. A God-rejecting, rebellious, sinful race, bedecked with a necklace of pride. Oh, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he, in an inconceivable act, chose to give us his dearly beloved Son to save us. Before the world was made, in the unimaginable realms of his triunity of love. Before the race was created, in the indescribable sphere of his gracious wisdom. God planned to give his perfect Son so that imperfect man could be eternally saved. Once he set his heart on redemption, it exploded into myriads of additional graces. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he scripted it in advance in his holy word for our learning and understanding, and chose us to sit with him on his throne and to be garmented with righteousness. But too often the familiar word doesn't permeate our outer shell of independence. And too frequently the well-rehearsed story becomes routine religious reading. Oh, and inevitably we are dispassionate of the enormity of our saved status. And sadly we become indifferent to our privileged heavenly position. And like the Israelites, we also start to murmur with dissatisfaction of our lot. Also dismissive of the great price that our salvation and acceptance cost him. Too often we also fluctuate between two extremes, mountain tops or deep valleys. Or one day we rejoice in our salvation, but the next we question our acceptance. Or one day we bathe in his presence, but the next we despair of his love. And day after week after year, we can ping-pong between two opinions. God loves me, God loves me not. God accepts me, God accepts me not. In the church age, we have some different rules to live by from other servants. Unlike Israel, who require a sign, the church is to live by faith and not by sight. We do not see a pillar of fire to guide us through the night seasons of our lives. We do not see dry paths made through the troubled waters of our earthly trek. We do not see mountainous walls tumble at the sound of our trumpet blast. But we have the word of God, and we have the completed canon of Scripture. And guess what? God has magnified his word above his holy name. But too often, the familiar word does not permeate our outer shell of independence. And too frequently, the well-rehearsed story becomes routine religious reading. Oh, and inevitably, we're dispassionate of the enormity of our saved status. And sadly, we become indifferent to our privileged heavenly position. And like the Israelites, we start to murmur with dissatisfaction of our lot. Too often, we dismiss that great truth that we are accepted by God in Christ. And the old adage, familiarity breeds contempt, is proved to be all too true. Never let us become so familiar with God's word that we treat his love and grace and our position in Christ lightly. Oh, may he open the eyes of our hearts with a fresh understanding of what it truly does mean to be accepted in the beloved Son of his love. We are clearly told that without faith it is impossible to please God. And faith is a firmly fixed attitude. An attitude that is firmly fixed on trusting his living word. A trust that accepts what he writes in his written word. That by his grace he made us accepted in the beloved. That means that despite everything, God accepts me because of Jesus. And if circumstances scream the opposite, God accepts me because of Jesus. And if this is good enough for God, then it's good enough for me and good enough for you.